Revving up for the next 25 years. We who, like the children of Israel, have been wandering in the wilderness of prejudice and ridicule, feel a peculiar tenderness for the young women on whose shoulders we are about to leave our burdens. They will have more courage to take the rights which belong to them. Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Feminism isn't called the longest revolution for nothing. I hope this more realistic perspective is something the second wave has gained in the last 25 years, because we certainly didn't begin with it. We had come out of various movement stages that were focused on immediate goals. The anti-Vietnam War movement to stop the body bags arriving home every day, the re-energized and more militant civil rights movement's efforts to desegregate and fight for voting rights, and a male-led intellectual left that sometimes practiced what Robin Morgan humorously called ejaculatory politics, revolution tomorrow, or I'm going home to my father's business. We also lacked women's studies, black studies, all the courses that might better be called remedial studies, to teach us that suffragists and abolitionists had struggled for more than a century to gain a legal identity for women of all races and men of color, so we had better be prepared for at least a century of struggle to gain a legal and social equality, not to mention the newly demanded human right of reproductive freedom, which attacks the very foundation of patriarchy. I don't regret one moment of those early firecracker days when explosions of consciousness lit up the sky. Somewhere, women go through them again every day when they discover how much a female experience is political, not inevitable. Even we golden oldies re-experience this excitement when new perceptions and issues arise. But bursts of light tend to flatten out the subtlety of differences between and among women. And a movement fueled only by adrenaline burns out its members, as many of us can testify. On the other hand, younger women and newer activists checked into a world that already has a degree of feminist consciousness. They have higher expectations and an acute awareness of the backlash to the growing power of the women's movement. They generate a steadier light that exposes the tangled patterns of race, class, sexuality, and physical ability in women's lives. Where my generation externalized almost everything and used this energy to confront injustice, younger and later activists admit how much of that injustice has been internalized and use this energy to dig deeper into individual psyches and family patterns. Where we risked repeating the same behavior because we hadn't dug out its personal and family roots, they risk recreating a social pattern because they neglected its politics. Thanks to feminist parents as well as to women's studies and a popular culture that occasionally pays tribute to a feminist worldview, this new generation has a better idea of the complexity involved in making lasting change. But now that's countered by a soundbite culture and the resistance to equality that is ever ready with terms like post-feminism, which makes no more sense than post-democracy. Without the excitement and mutual support of early small group feminism, I fear this and future generations won't have the personal rewards and fireworks that hooked us for a lifetime. On the other hand, without large organizations to turn out the vote and raise money to keep generations of struggle going, suffragists and abolitionists couldn't have won, and we can't either.